Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
There's no excuse not to share the data and let us begin to plan. Because on day one, it's going to take us time. If we don't have access to all this data, it's going to put us behind the eight ball by a matter of a month or more. And that's lives. How many would be lost as a consequence of that? I can't tell you.
All right, that's Joe Biden talking about no transfer of power and the complication that continues with what is the legal challenges from the Trump lawyers. What does it all mean? The president is broadening his efforts, absolutely, to overturn the election. The lawsuits, however, are being checkmated all over the place. You have Republicans who are jumping ship and those that are still backing the prez. In the meantime, you have the pandemic that's worse than ever. Testing is massively strained. In California, you can't be on the streets starting from 10 o'clock at night until 5 o'clock in the morning. Those orders are kicking in coming up in the next couple of days to try to stem the tide of the pandemic. Can you imagine? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. And in Europe, for our friends that are listening overseas, you know what it's like in the UK and some other areas. The situation in Europe, deaths in Europe every 17 seconds. And now there's just new information, not that we didn't know that it could be risky. It could be risky business, but they say supermarkets are the most common place to catch COVID. And the supermarkets, particularly in Europe, is what I was looking at. I was looking at the Sun, and they're saying that, because of the tracing they're doing, that is what they are finding. They're finding that shopping is one of the number one places that they're tracing this back to. That if you looked at the number of reports and what's happening in households, that the data from people who contracted the virus between November 9th and 15th, they looked at those who had caught it, retraced the steps of them, and supermarkets were the most common location of the people who reported they had a test. Those that tested positive was found that 18.3% had visited a supermarket. So there you go. The idea is to steer clear of them, they're saying in Europe, or go to them, but just have the food loaded in when you pull up. And I'm wondering how many people feel the same way about supermarkets in the U.S. I think it's a little bit different. I mean, the U.K. COVID cases and deaths, that's where some of that tracing is happening. But they're certainly seeing the same thing that we're seeing in the United States. The cases incredibly, incredibly high. And one of the craziest things I've seen with now California is going to go into the lockdown, the curfew from 10 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning, is people waiting in very long lines to take the coronavirus test at Dodger Stadium. It almost looked like it was an L.A. freeway, looking at it at night. It was eerie, I have to say. It was eerie looking at it, but people need the test, and they go get the test. If they feel that they've got the symptoms, then that's what they're being urged to do, to go and get the test and not take any risks for the people that could be infected that are close to you if you have it and don't realize it. While that's going on, for our friends in Arizona, they're on fire. And part of the reason they that you see in the United States some of the cases rising is because I think it's more about indoor, and kind of sloughing off that, okay, more people are coming indoors and we're letting people in, and that's what happens. But you could certainly stay outside, but you better bring a fan if you're in Arizona. Phoenix, they say they've never seen anything like the hot spell that they're seeing so late in the year. Phoenix topped out at 92, a record day. 92 was the high. And they think they're going to keep breaking it again and again and again because they keep seeing these temperatures. So it's interesting, the complaints about the cold weather in Phoenix, they're saying, I'll trade you for just one day because we think we can stay inside, no problem. The scary thing about the coronavirus, besides what we're seeing that's happening to people, the rise in the cases, and some of the confusion about what's going to happen at the top in a transition, is that 12 million Americans will be losing unemployment benefits by the year's end. So what happens when the CARE Act provisions lapse? They lose their unemployment benefits. They don't have any relief. They're financially vulnerable when the COVID infections are rising. And there's potential for shutdowns. Ugh. And then you have federal eviction and student loan protections will also end or scheduled to end after December. I mean, catastrophic for jobless workers without any action from Congress or the White House. And it doesn't look like there is a deal that is to be had, which is very scary to me because it certainly looked like we were going to see that. Remember in March, you had the $2.2 trillion CARES Act, largest ever financial relief package in the U.S. in the very early days of the coronavirus. But that was it. So with the amount of people losing their benefits at the end of December, key programs expiring, I mean, are we going to have a lot of homeless people, more homeless people than we already have in some states that can't house any more people as they try to do whatever they can? I mean, there's what's going to be community to community helping their people in their community, meaning it's going to be like the old days where you helped. And I think neighbors are doing that, but I think it's going to ratchet up to an incredible level. I mean, that many people getting the unemployment, seeing it dwindle, and then, of course, the $600 weekly boost to unemployment pay, that lapsed. And then people are just threadbare, as they say. And it's going to hurt low-income Americans who had a disproportionate amount of layoffs because of the pandemic. The over 83% of the black labor force in California has filed for unemployment benefits since the beginning of the pandemic. So you look at food, housing, utility assistance requested up sharply from the previous year. And especially among renters is one of the things that you can see when you look at all the data that's been collected on this. Wow. Wow, America, we need a virtual hug. Come in. Come in for a virtual hug. A woman named Aqualite joins us next to talk about her book that she says is a game changer.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed
better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products started under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority, according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Moralia joins us now across the pond. She's in London, and she's written a novel that is very thought-provoking called Businesswoman. Anna Rita, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
How did you come about this novel? How did you write this story?
Well, I started with two poetry books against the British law, and then I came with two true story books about my life as a feminist since I was in the convent. And then I decided America is really full of foreigners, diversity. I like that. So I wrote a novel about an Oriental businesswoman, feminist, and really rich. And that's how it came up about.
And that's the story. So in telling us the story, was it fun to write the story? Did you, in coming up with it, like we just talked about, did you just live with that character? Did anybody in your book model some people you knew?
Well, most of my books are based in my character. Well, I'm not rich, but I'm a bit of a businesswoman. I'm a feminist, and I'm a dreamer. And I'm talented. And this Oriental woman is also talented, a feminist, rich, and everybody's after her money. And then she has a dream to go to the moon to put a few things in there. And she keeps it as a secret. And I'm not going to tell you anymore.
Well, that's good. You're not supposed to give away the entire plot because you want people to go and buy the book again. It's a novel. It's Businesswoman. And Anna Rita, in you talking about your life, you're celebrating a milestone. Are you proud of what you've been able to achieve?
Well, it was very difficult because I came up at least with some success. I mean, I did 7 books, and I have this wonderful interview with you. I had a wonderful interview with a South African radio station, and I think I had an interview with some person called Bratton, which is also American. So I am getting there. I'm going to be 50 tomorrow, but I am getting there.
I like that. I am getting there. Well, you know, 50 is the new 30 or something like that, they say anyway. When people escape into your book, Businesswoman, what do you hope that they uncover? That they have fun, that they enjoy the story, that they maybe learn a few things?
I want women to know they can have success. I mean, when I came to London, I thought, well, the queen is a woman, the prime minister is a woman. There was a crown princess, which is dead now, which are women. So I thought it would be a nice place for me, but I wasn't very lucky in London. So I want people to know that you got to be what you want to be, and women can also be very powerful. And that's what I want them to know. Then they actually can fight and get what they want.
Yeah. And do you think it's getting easier for women? Do you think that you mentioned the women that you saw that were in positions where they were very, very visible, but now we're seeing that it is kind of sort of the rise of women and business and entrepreneurs. Do you think it's getting better?
Well, in Latin countries, apparently, yes. I mean, in Latin countries like Spain, Italy, women are meant to look after the house, and guys go to work, and, you know, they have to have the hanky-panky because they are married. And they sort of have a dutiful life as a woman. And nowadays, they actually go to work. They state their business, and they talk for themselves, which they weren't like 40 years ago when I left it. So I'm glad now women are getting more powerful.
Yeah, and for you, and we're speaking with Ana Rita Moralia, and the name of the book is Businesswoman. Was that a great move for you to be in London, even though, yes, there may have been some things that hold women back?
Well, I suppose it's an experience, and I would have much preferred not to be through. I mean, I'm supporting a charity of women than being arrested or being mentally ill, and they are so different, and they suffer so much, and I identify with them. So I did have a few things that I don't really want to talk about it because I talk in my books, but I wasn't very lucky in London. And every time I say I'm going to go somewhere else on vacation, maybe in South Africa or USA, they always say, well, in USA, if you are ill and you can't pay, you die. You don't have an NHS. And I said, well, I complain about the UK, and all you can say is that you have an NHS, free medical advice. So we have different opinions.
Right, right.
I don't like them.
I understand. So you writing all these books, what's next for you after Businesswoman?
Well, somebody actually asked me for a television interview in the USA, but with some sort of thing they call pandemic, apparently it's very difficult to travel to USA, and I wanted to go and speak with my publishers. So I don't know when it's going to be next.
Now, all right, so next might be more publicity in coming to the United States, and so that's very, very good news. Well, you were a delight to interview, and, boy, carrying the torch. Businesswoman is the name of the book. Ana Rita, thank you so much. What do you do for fun?
Can I just ask you, even though my name is Ana Rita Moralia, usually a businesswoman is either by Aqualight or by Starlight. I call myself either Aqualight or Starlight.
Ah, okay, so that's good that you mentioned that. So for everybody listening, again, Aqualite is where you will find the book, the name, Businesswoman. Again, Anna Rita's nom de plume is Aqualite. So when you go onto Amazon, that's how you can find it. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so interesting talking to a woman in business from across the pond in the United States. I think that there's such a push, and I've talked to so many men running companies that are out there really trying to attract the biggest and brightest and women and opening lots of doors. Goldman Sachs does a 10,000 women thing that I found out about, and it's a global initiative, actually global, to foster economic growth by providing women entrepreneurs around the world with a business and management education. They do this whole mentoring and networking thing and access to capital for startups and all of that. We're starting to really see that happening, that evolution of the creation of, you know, creation of that. I think with the 10,000 women, the idea was that investing in women entrepreneurs leads to economic growth and stronger communities, and by doing this practical business education and mentoring and networking and the access to the money they would need, that the 10,000 women has reached thousands of women from over 100 countries to date. And, you know, the people who graduate from the program report this sustained economic growth. So that's good. I mean, I think entrepreneurism in general is going to be on the rise. And even working for a company, there's going to be more opportunities. And we're seeing that to date. So her book, Aqualite's book, is pretty timely for those in the field. I've had lots of men actually ask me how can they get involved and how can they get involved and get more women on boards and get more women into roles into their companies. And like I said, there's some amazing opportunities that are out there just for the taking. And yes, we're all in this pandemic at this point, and so that is causing, I think, some programs to kind of freeze momentarily. But as the world is opening back up, I think those opportunities will be there. And, you know, we think of Thanksgiving coming up, and certainly we're grateful for that economic growth. And what does that mean, and what does that lead to for both, you know, men and women? The possibilities are, of course, endless. And so for the people that were there before that reached out and have created things like the 10,000 women and Aqualite with her book, really encouraging that and giving some footing to some people who are looking for those opportunities. Pretty interesting stuff. All right, stay with us and I'll meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Now is not the time to travel. That's the latest message from the Centers of Disease Control asking Americans not to travel for Thanksgiving. The CDC says the safest way to celebrate the holidays is with the people in your household until a vaccine is widely available. There have been many questions about those vaccines and whether they're being rushed to the market. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that isn't an issue. According to the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the speed with which these vaccines were developed is a testament to the technologies being used.
The process of the speed did not compromise at all safety, nor did it compromise scientific integrity. It was a reflection of the extraordinary scientific advances in these types of vaccines, which allowed us to do things in months that actually took years before.
This is USA Radio News. Weekly jobless claims took an unexpected leap on Thursday, with 742,000 people filing for unemployment last week. That's a jump of more than 30,000 from the week before. The Department of Labor says that 20.3 million Americans were still claiming some form of unemployment assistance as of the end of October. As cases of coronavirus rise across the country, many school districts, including New York City's, are moving to virtual learning and shutting down in-class instruction. Something that CDC Director Robert Redfield says isn't supported by the data. At a press briefing Thursday, Redfield says it's important that schools stay open.
Using the data to make decisions in their communities, particularly as relates to K-12s and institutes of higher learning, these clearly, the data support that it's really important from a public health perspective, both from the pandemic as well as what you'll hear about in a minute, that these schools stay open.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Around an author's corner, boy, this is such an important book because there is a lot of information and misinformation out there about fostering and what it's like to foster and things that happen as you foster. Daniel Crowe is going to join us. He's written a book called So You Think You Want to Foster, and he's been fostering for 45 years, so he certainly knows what it's like to go through the system, the kids, what it's like. Sometimes what can happen with allegations, et cetera, and, you know, especially with the world that we're living in right now. And we also see that the foster system is so, so overrun. So getting it right, I think, is as important as anything I can possibly think of and helping children. So again, Daniel Crowe joins us. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about fostering, first of all, and why you decided to foster.
Well, I didn't really decide to foster. We were sitting having a coffee one time, and my wife said, "Do you know what I'd like to do?" I said, "Go on then. I'd like to foster." And I said, "I think we actually got 3 children at the time." And I said, "We've got 3 kids already." And she said, "I know, but it's something I'd really like to do." And we applied, and when the interviewer came, he was very, you know, "You've got 3 children. Yeah, I think you've got enough on your plate," because we weren't very old at the time. Well, my wife was only early 20s. or mid, we should probably be mid-20s when we had the three kids, but they turned us down. And we were approached by a lady after we were turned down. Would we look after a young unmarried mother? And we looked after several of them. And they were just young kids that had got pregnant and had their babies. And we looked after them just briefly. And it made me think, you know, if ever a daughter of mine gets pregnant, I'll do everything I can to support her. Because the families turned them away. It was a very bad thing in those days to be pregnant out of wedlock. And it was really scorned on. So some of them went to Backstreet for abortion. Some of them tried to do abortions themselves. And, you know, the whole thing, that sort of made me think hard and long. And when we actually went into fostering, that stuck with me. And I remembered, and these kids, you see, when we foster a child, in a lot of cases, these children come from a home where they've been taken from the parents. And we found that, especially inner London children, the parents would do their utmost to poison the child's mind against us, because we were seen as the ones who took the child off them. And that, I found that particularly hard. But the foster children themselves, because I was brought up in a children's home, I was taken from my mother and put in a children's home. And it was a very tough one. But it gave me insight to how they thought. I knew their thoughts, and virtually before they said anything, I knew what was coming. Because I'd been through it all, got the T-shirt, as they say.
Yeah.
But, and my wife went into it big time, and she studied. She was always going to meetings, and because they set up meetings regularly for fostering, I went along sometimes. I'd be the only one there, the only man there, you know?
Yeah.
But then, I sometimes come out with sort of answers that didn't, you know. On one occasion, we were at a meeting, and they said, now we've got a situation here. We've got a boy who starts masturbating in public. What would you do? He pointed at a lady. And she said, oh, I would tell him, that sort of thing is okay in private, in your bedroom or in the toilet or wherever. You see, and the next one came along and said very much the same, and they came to me. And they said, what would you do? And I said, I would take his ear, and when his feet are off the ground, I'd say, what do you think you're doing? And they burst out laughing, and they said, what would you do? And I said, well, I suppose I would try and do something, you know. But That was my feeling.
Right, right. So when people, if people read this book and you're describing, you went into some great detail about things that could happen and giving us an example there, what would you, what do you hope, I guess is the right way to put this, what do you hope people take away from reading So You Think You Want to Foster?
I feel that people should know that their children are a big part of the fostering, because the children are exposed to everything that the child, and sometimes the children that come to you are absolutely vitriolic, and they have to bear the brunt of that too. We're not the only ones that get it, you know? And that should be thought over very much. And before embarking on this thing, you know, at the end of the book, I said, what were my thoughts on? Was I surprised that none of the children took up fostering? And I said, no, I wasn't. And I was not surprised. And I understand all of it. Because over the years, we've fostered some of the most difficult children in the UK. As this all took place in the UK. And some of them came from, after being through courses with top doctors and things like that, and because we'd done it very successfully, they sort of selected us, you know.
Yeah.
It made that in itself was a big part of why I wrote the book.
For you, though, was it, it was, even though there were difficult moments, was it gratifying because you're trying to help somebody who's stuck in this sad in-between and the situations that these kids of all ages are in?
We had one really, really difficult boy, and I became very, very close to him. But through all of it, in the end, he still went down the wrong road.
Mm.
They say we were on a TV program called All It Takes Is Love, or words to that effect it was. And I'm afraid it doesn't work like it. When a child is very young, the deprivation that they have in their very early years remains with them. And I find that with me, when I was taken away, it made me, my wife said to me, when after we got married, that, you know, she said, I knew that when we were going together, if I didn't meet what you thought I should be, you would just switch me off. And it does. It makes you, you can switch off. And that's how I felt the children were. And I tried my utmost to get them through that.
Wow. Well, this book, again, is so valuable to so many people. So You Think you know You Want to Foster, and what you talk about, I think, is incredibly valuable to people who are going down that path. Thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Come away with me in the night.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Corner, Misty Long is with us. She's written a book called My Fight for Survival, and her story is about what we are the challenge of life, what we're all trying to do, but also what happens, it's deeper than that, when life throws you absolutely very tough curveballs, and what do you do when you're in that situation? So Misty, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What made you write the book?
I wanted to help people, and I wasn't sure how I could do that. I'm a single mom at the time when I thought about it. I'm married now, but I have a hard time being able to get into school. So instead of being a therapist, I figured if I wrote a book, it would reach people further.
Yeah, so tell us your plight, your journey, and what you survived.
Well, it started from childhood. I had a lot of struggles with being separated from my father at a very young age and my mother. I had my mother leave and then come back in 2 years. She grabbed me from my dad. I did not see him again for 14 years. I had problems with my stepdad, who became less and less of a dad to me and saw me more as a grown woman as I got older, and he would do things he should not. As I got older, I had more problems with grown men dealing with me and trying to deal with that. I graduated high school at 18, and then I moved to Virginia from Wisconsin. I got pregnant very early, right after I got out of school, so I got stuck in Virginia. But I had two, and I married the father it didn't work out. He was abusive mentally and physically, and we both were to each other. I got into drugs when I separated him and separated from him because I had nowhere to go. I didn't want to leave my children, and I didn't want to take them from their dad, as was done to me. So I tried to stick it out, and I tried to survive and make it. But with no family and no friends, I wasn't sure what I should do. And I got stuck in a bad world around bad people who got me into heavy drugs. And it caused a couple of rapes because I was not careful. And I had gotten thrown in jail for a DUI. I lived in my car for 3 years. And I had a severe alcohol problem. And I got strung out on meth. And it was addicted to pills, and I did a couple of suicide attempts, and I was thrown into the hospital for that, and then I was thrown into counseling my whole life, and I never liked the counselors because I don't believe that they understand from a deep level what really is going on with people, and I would rather somebody who knows, so I would like to try to reach people who understand and are going through things that I have already gone through, and to let them know you can make it through this. After my DUI, there was a godsend. There was a friend on my Facebook who I did not add, so I don't know how he was there. He helped me out. He brought me to church. He helped me get a place to live and a job. I got one child back. I got custody of one. And now I have two more little boys. I still struggle daily with depression. But I fight it, and I let myself know, I'm not where I was. But it was definitely a tough fight to get through, and I wasn't sure I would survive it, and my family definitely didn't think I was going to live.
Wow, so much that you have been through. I mean, not just one thing, but several really life-altering things that really could have taken most people down, including, you mentioned that, the suicide attempts, then ultimately, meth use, the wrong people, the DUI. And as you said, it's one day at a time. And do you think that's what people listening should overall take away from what they read about your life and how to survive life, that it is one day at a time?
It is one day at a time. It is not easy. Finding people that have gone through it is really important because at the time when you're going through it, those people, they definitely think that they're alone. And I want people to know you're not alone at all. There is people out there that have and are going through the same thing and that you can make it through.
Yeah, and for you, and as you said, the counseling and felt like they didn't understand at a deep level. What was the real breakthrough, though? When was it that, okay, yes, it's one day at a time. When did you know, okay, I'm going to survive. I have kids. I'm going to make this work. How did that happen? When did you know you no matter what kind of a day you had, you were going to get through it?
When I was in jail. When I got thrown in jail, I had nothing but time to sit there and think about what I was doing to myself, what I was doing to my family, what I could have done to somebody else's family, and I didn't know.
Wow. And writing this book, what was it like writing the book and going back and reliving some of the things that happened to you?
It took me a little while to write it because some of the things that are in that book I have never spoken, I've never written about. It took me a little while. It was really kind of hard. My husband didn't know about certain things, and he's not really wanting to read the book. And I understand that. But it took a long time and a lot of... It's still kind of hard to know that I've put it all out there. But if it can help somebody else, I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's what's so heartfelt about you. I knew that when I talked to you off the air that's what it's about. It's about connecting to other people because you know that there are people that are on this journey and they're being shuffled around. They're barely making it. People don't understand what's happened to them. And we're certainly sorry for the things that happened to you, but wow, that you're sharing this. And as you said, you couldn't become a therapist, didn't become a therapist, but in a way, here you are. This is a different way to reach out to so many people. And again, people are listening to us right now in this conversation, and we're speaking with Misty Long, and the book is My Fight for Survival. Ultimately, what do you really, really hope people take away from this? Again, what is it that the nuggets that you offer that they can take away?
if I can offer anybody any kind of advice, it's instead of looking in your past about the things that have happened that are bad, try to look to your future about the exciting things that are to come. The bad things happen, and we have to learn how to get past them, but God only puts so much on us that we can handle.
There you go. I like that. There's only so much, and we get so much that we can handle. How do you feel now? As you said, you still deal with depression, but you mentioned, you know, children, a different kind of life than from the very beginning of this journey. What's it like for you now?
Yeah, it's still, you know, day by day. I do still struggle. I have anxiety and depression problems, but that's, you know, a day at a time still for me. And I just remind myself every day that I have a better life, that I'm not where I was, and God has helped me get to where I am. And I really thought to where I wanted to go in life, and I got there. I do have two more children that are twins. They're difficult, but I adore all my kids. I've got four. I did get remarried, and I bought a house. I have an amazing husband now who helps support me in this. He wants me to take this as far as I can take it because I want to bring this out as far as I can to help as many people as I can. And I'm very happy in my life.
Wow, that's great. It's the perfect place to end this, the amazing husband and the journey that you're taking. And do you think in this journey, as you describe some hard things to say out loud, to write in a book, has that helped you as well by releasing all of that?
It has. It actually has. It was really relieving to let that out, even on paper, to just write it out. I didn't think that this was going to go anywhere, and I figured if it didn't, at least I was able to write it down. And I did feel better. Not 100%, but it did help.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you were vulnerable and willing to do this, and, of course, to put your book out there, and I think this is imperative for so many people, because I know that there are people that are struggling with a lot of what you dealt with. The book is called My Fight for Survival, Misty Long. You can get it on Amazon. Misty, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. So, again, when people are willing to get in the arena to help other people and really talk about what happened to them from the time they were a child, and you heard what Misty had to deal with, abandonment issues, abuse issues, and all those struggles along the way, I mean, that would be enough to take any one of us down. And that's why I think her book is so significant, because it's real, it's raw, and it's honest. It's honesty that people who need to hear. And I love what she said about it's not about the past, it's about the future. Because it is about the future. So whatever you're struggling with, that is and she said that as one of the key things to hang on to for sure. All right, thanks so much to all of you for listening to the interview and also for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everyone.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.